Syrian troops are gaining ground in their battle against insurgents while tension is rising on the border with Turkey. With the Turkish premier headed to Washington, some say a Western-backed military intervention may be in the making. Others suggest the US and the UK stated intention to double support for militants, while also calling for talks suggest the proxy war could continue for some time to come. How can the bloodshed come to an end? Is a political solution still possible? This is The Debate.
The Syrian army is making progress in its battle against foreign-backed insurgents. The army, which has changed its tactic from defensive to offensive in the past few weeks, has chosen one major strategy.
Securing highways and major cities in the country in order to ensure a better movement, a better flow of movement between Syrian cities is apparently working out.
Right now, three major fronts are open in the north, south and southwest of the country. The Syrian army has taken three main villages in the suburbs of Al-Qusair, near the Cedar of Homs, and moved to secure the roads in border areas with Lebanon. This will ultimately block supply lines for militants who are still fighting in Qusair. The army has dropped leaflets urging residents of Qusair to evacuate the city. To the south, the Syrian army gained control of their strategic town of Kirbet Ghazala 2 days ago and forced the militants to retreat from the town. The move secured the main highway linking Damascus and Daraa to Jordan. And in the north, the fight over Aleppo International Airport continues as insurgents are cornered in the Sheikh Said neighborhood of Aleppo, which is believed to be the last bastion. The army's advances underground, in addition to remarks by the UN investigator who is accused the insurgents of using chemical weapons, have tipped their scale against the militants fighting to overthrow the government. In a hasty response, Israel bombed Syrian army facilities twice, revealing the alliance between insurgents and Tel Aviv. On the diplomatic front, the US Secretary of State met with his Russian counterpart in an attempt to open a new window.
Many people here in Damascus believe that the West won't negotiate with the Syrian government unless the Syrian government has the upper hand in the fight against the insurgents here in Syria, and which is the case right now.
The new push comes as the foreign-based opposition has yet to decide to join the move, and British Premier David Cameron still seeks to find ways to make the opposition forces operationally stronger. Cameron's policy comes despite warnings from former U.S. Secretary of Defense Robert Gates, who believes a U.S. intervention in the conflict will be unpredictable and messy. So it seems that any political solution will only bear fruit when the West and its regional allies feel threatened by the insurgents' losses.
If the Syrian army continues to press ahead against the insurgents, if the Syrian army continues to achieve advancement across Syrian territories, then yes, these negotiations will achieve something.
You're watching The Debate. Joining me now live from London is political analyst Mr. Sukant Chandan, and with us live from Berkeley, Mr. Lee Kaplan, an investigative journalist. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for being on this edition of The Debate. My first question to our guests in Berkeley. Now, Mr. Kaplan, David Cameron and Barack Obama said today that they'll push for negotiations but would also continue to support the insurgents. This is being seen as a dual-track policy. Do you think it's going to help end the bloodshed?
I'm sorry, I had trouble hearing you. Can you say the question again?
Yes, of course. Mr. Kaplan, the question that was raised here is the policy adopted by the UK and the US. David Cameron and Barack Obama saying today they are pushing for negotiations, but they will also continue to support the insurgents. Is this going to help end the bloodshed?
I believe it will. I also think that even if it doesn't end the bloodshed, it's a necessary action in order to get rid of the Assad regime. I think it's something that, sooner or later is going to happen either way. But I think if the Western allies line up in opposition to Assad and finally get rid of him, it would be the best thing in the long run.
So, again, something that was raised there, I'll put this question to Mr. Chandan in London. by David Cameron and Barack Obama themselves was they were saying that until Assad is in power, a political solution, they were suggesting, is not going to work. Now, Mr. Chandon, do you think that this is the case, that as long as Assad remains in power, it's meaningless to talk of negotiations?
Good evening, sister, and to all your viewers. I'd just like to start off by conveying my condolences to the royal family of the black revolutionary struggle in North America, which is the martyrdom of Malcolm Latif Shabazz, who was a very young brother who made his public alliances politically pinned onto the resistance of the global south, particularly Syria, Libya, and Iran. And it's this type of morality and ethics of political position that should inspire a further generation. So I salute his family, I convey condolences, and I'm sure Allah Wahiguru and the ancestors will give blessings upon him. You know, what we're faced now with Cameron is a typical devilish tactics. On the one hand, imperialism, which Cameron is a representative of, is having to admit that its aims, its strategic aims against Syria have not been met, i.e. the Syrian people have stayed loyal to their leadership, to their army, and to their patriotic and regional resistance against this NATO operation. Mm-hmm. So really there has to be some level of admission from our enemies that this is the case. But listen to what they're asking the Russians to do. On the one hand, they're saying they still want a regime change in Assad. And, you know, Mr. Kaplan and all of his colleagues in imperialism have absolutely no right to pass judgment on sovereign countries of the global south. Syria actually was a beacon and an island of peaceful and positive coexistence between the sects. And we can see now, with the example of Libya, what they're looking forward to develop in Syria, and even worse than the Libyan scenario. So really, Mr. Kaplan should keep his nose way out of Syrian affairs. But Cameron is asking Putin to do this peace conference and then asking Putin and the Russian government not to give sophisticated air defense systems to Syria. So this is the type of devilish games that imperialism is doing. On the one hand, a slight admission that it's not going to plan and going into some type of political settlement process, but in so doing, preparing through the strategic approach to the negotiated settlement to actually create a worse situation for Syria in order to entrap it in its military strategy.
So really, people have to be very vigilant in what the
West is planning.
I'll come back to you, but this case is a question basically right now to Mr. Kaplan. The US and the UK have confirmed, Mr. Kaplan, that they're doubling now support that includes, David Cameron said, the shipment of armored vehicles, among other equipment, to what he called the moderate opposition. But the question is, can they determine who the equipment gets to? Will this not increase bloodshed and even lead to consequences for the supporting countries?
I think that they definitely can take some control over where the weapons go. We've discussed this before on this show about the threat from al-Qaeda elements in the al-Nusra Front. However, the majority of the al-Nusra Front, that's the Free Syrian Army, is opposed to al-Qaeda's involvement. So the weapons are very important there. The Russians, by the way, while they are supplying weapons to the Assad regime, are cooling off a little bit on that because they realize the danger involved. Ultimately, Iran poses in the long term a more immediate threat to Russia than it does to the United States, and the Russians realize that.
Nonsense.
The Russian involvement, of course, is very...
So, Mr. Kaplan, do you think then that arming the insurgents, continuing to support the insurgents, is going to be helpful, even if we do consider that they can determine who the equipment reaches, that this is not just going to lead to a continuation of this confrontational approach? How can we expect a political solution to work when we're at the same time equipping the insurgents to continue their battle?
Well, a political solution would work if Assad would step down, because the Russians and the UN and the United States and Great Britain have all tried to arrange for a negotiated settlement of the fighting. The man who's keeping the war going is Assad. You know, I'd like to show your viewers something here. There's a picture of Mr. Chandon here. You probably can't see it, but people can Google it. It shows him at a tribute to Laila Khaled, who was PFLP terrorists who introduced air hijackings and terrorism to the world. Yeah. It interests me how he talks to me about his concern about terrorism and about people being killed. There's 80,000 Syrians killed now under the Assad regime.
Well, this has happened.
At the same time,
he
glorifies these terrorists.
Speaking about the terrorists who are active in Syria, I'd just like to bring in here a video that's been posted on the internet. It is a very gruesome picture of an insurgent commander cutting the heart out of a Syrian soldier's body and then biting into it. Just like to remind the viewers, a warning, the pictures are disturbing, and we'll come back again and talk about it. There you can see the pictures. The commander of the Syrian insurgents in this video posted online, as you saw there, cutting out the heart of a Syrian soldier's body and biting into it. And he's also saying they're calling on the other insurgents to slaughter Syrian soldiers and to eat their hearts and livers, according to the translations that we've been getting of this video, again, that's been posted online. Quite gruesome pictures there. Okay, back to London, Mr. Chandan. Looking at this and similar videos that have been posted in the internet, we have seen time and time again. There is, of course, a lot of real concern about terrorism and the threat that it's posing to ordinary civilians in Syria. What can be done about it? I mean, we're hearing the US and the UK saying our aid is non-lethal, that, again, Mr. Kaplan, they're saying that they can determine who the equipment reaches. But is this going to stop the flow of terrorism?
I don't know if Mr. Kaplan is either being totally disingenuous what he's coming out with, or that he's perhaps not read what the mainstream analysts within the West are saying actually about the situation on the ground in Syria, because far from the FSA and the Nusra Front being at loggerheads or having any type of real antagonism, there's actually alliance, and they both keep justifying each other's existence on the ground. You have, and you know, my condolences to the family of that martyr of the from the Syrian Arab army, who obviously has been subject to that disgusting ordeal by these total depraved maniacs, which are deep in alliance with the NATO alliance and their regional allies. So really, the weapons are going to these type of death squads, but it's exactly these type of death squads that have been operational in alliance with imperialism throughout all the regions of the world, and most recently in the 80s in South America. Sorry. So this should be no surprise really to anyone that there's this alliance. And talking about the depraved ripping the heart out of not only of that Shaheed, that martyr in the Syrian Arab army, but with the Syria itself is one of the heart, literal heartlands of patriotic Arab existence, as was Libya, the beating political heart of Pan-Africanism, which has been lynched as well by the death squads of NATO there as well. So really, this is the situation we're faced with. But Mr. Kaplan is, again, I don't understand if he's lying or he doesn't know what's going on, but Iran has very good relations with Russia. And also, I think you can hear within the Turkish establishment that they know they've been played for fools, because Turkey was developing good relations with all its non-Western neighbors in the region until a few years ago, into this ridiculous Arab sting operation by NATO, which has been unleashed on the region and weakened it so much more considerably.
Yes.
That Turkey now is witnessing the fallout. And who is behind the bombing in Turkey on the border town with Syria? Who and the way we can answer this is to ask, whose interest does it actually serve the best? And really, more than anyone, it's France and Britain and their allies within the Syrian conflict, because they're desperately trying to get America to use its military muscle to conduct regime change. United States are reluctant to do that. And you can read in the opinion piece and the editorials within the British and French press, they are literally just desperate for getting Americans involved.
Let's get a reaction from our guest, Mr. Kaplan, there in Berkeley. Now, Mr. Kaplan, a lot of people are saying now that the situation in Syria can definitely no longer be described as a civil war. They're saying the situation is a full-scale war in Syria, and a lot of people are calling it a proxy war, and that this is the new type of warfare that's being launched in Syria. They're suggesting that actually we're not going to see a direct military intervention, because this proxy war, using elements to wage war in Syria, is actually helping destroy the country and eventually lead to Assad's fall.
Exactly.
That's a very real possibility. I mean, the situation with Russia is very different. The Russians have a financial stake in Syria. They also have a financial stake in Cyprus and the new oil reserves that have been found. And they do business with Iran, and they're concerned about that. Also, they're trying to get their foothold back into the Middle East, which they more or less left in 1992. They have a naval base in Syria, and they also are selling weapons to the Assad regime. So we're going back to Cold War competition over weapons. So that's where the Russians come in. But the fact is, the illustration you showed of, I wasn't able to see it, but I'm sure it was quite ghastly, the scene of the man eating the heart. And of course, it's unacceptable. However, the Syrian army and the Syrian side have been doing that for years. Mr. Chandon, again, as I said, people can go online and see this tribute to Leila Khaled that he did. The PFLP and the PLO have also staged films and videos where they've eaten the hearts of their enemies. It's just as disgusting when they do it as when anyone else does it.
No, they
haven't. I'm not excusing what that faction of the insurgents did, but I can tell you one thing. If the West gets involved, if Britain and the United States are involved and are supplying weapons to help them, that guy won't be doing that again anymore, I guarantee you.
Okay, before we continue with this discussion, I'd just like to remind our viewers, we do have a Facebook page on this program, and a lot of our viewers have been posting their comments for us. Let's take a look at some of the comments that have been posted, and we'll be back.
The opposition is in a very strong position. That's why they are requesting America to negotiate with the fighters. President Assad is begging, but very soon fighters will hang him in Damascus Square. Very soon, the same problems of Syria will spill into Iraq and Lebanon. We want to see Assad back in full power. Only then will 300,000 Christians return. They will not return with the radical groups who have attacked, tortured, and murdered them.
The last comment that was made there about the situation of religious minorities in Syria, I put this question to Mr. Chandon. Now, a lot has been said, Mr. Chandon, about how Syria would look in a post-Assad situation. The forces involved right now, we're seeing a concern raised there about how, for instance, Christians, as we saw there, are going to live in the presence of these militants who've been attacking them, for instance, as one. So do you think there is a serious and real threat because of the presence of these terrorists right now in Syria?
Absolutely, sister, there definitely is. And just on the issue of Comrade Leila Khaled, she's not only a personal friend of President Assad of Syria, she's also, I'm very proud to say, she's a personal friend of myself. And she is a absolute historic pioneering revolutionary of the Palestinian and general Third World Global South revolutionary cause. But unlike the death squads in Syria, and this is related to your question, sister, the Leila Khaled and the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine and associated and allied organizations have a high level of ethical approach. They have never conducted the type of depraved crimes conducted by the death squads in Syria who are allied with Mr. Kaplan, or in Libya, or in other places. Mr. Kaplan, you have to admit to yourself that these are the type of depraved death squads that you are using to conduct regime change against a sovereign country of the global south. And absolutely, Syrian Christians are right to be fearful, because these people are absolutely, I call them the bonkers brigade, but I don't want to make it into a comedic thing, because this is very serious. They massacre and they lynch black people in Libya, Sufi shrines in Libya, Christians, Shia people in Syria. Sorry, that's the Sufi shrines and black people in Libya. Sorry. So really, what Syria is on the precipice of is an absolute hellish situation. That not only is it going to visit upon the Syrian people, but also is visiting upon the Iraqi people, and unfortunately soon to visit upon Lebanon.
Let's give Mr. Kaplan a chance to respond.
Because we have to understand the way NATO is manipulating Turkey.
We'll come back to you, Mr. Chandon.
He doesn't want me to respond because the
Go ahead.
The fact is the Assad regime, the Assad family, the Alawites there have committed genocide against their own people, let alone the rest of the world. They're one of the exporters of world terrorism. The fact is they've killed over 80,000 of their own people, the Syrians. His father murdered 30,000 people in home. He's murdered now, I think, in excess of 40,000 people near Aleppo. The fact is, this guy keeps talking about them like they're a wonderful democratic society.
Well,
they're
Mr. Kaplan, just this question, because
murderers.
We are short of time, I'd like to get your response on this question as well. A lot of people are saying we should let the Syrians themselves decide how this issue is going to be resolved. We can't come from the outside and say Assad needs to step down for this to end. We should let the Syrian political process take shape based on the decisions that the Syrians themselves make.
Madam, you know full well that the Assad's regime is a dictatorship, and when you say let them decide, they'll have to decide with a gun pointed at their head, and that will retain Assad. Now, the West has offered, and the UN has offered, to create a transitional plan to create peace and to end the war, but Assad has to step down. And if you say let the Syrian people decide and then put Assad in charge of that, you'll end up with the same thing, and you'll end up with
yes.
more genocide in the long run.
Okay, we are quickly running out of time. Concluding remarks by Mr. Chandon, if you may. Would you say then, how would you basically reject what was Mr. Kaplan was saying, that if we leave the Syrian people to decide their fate, they would have to decide at gunpoint?
Well, Mr. Kaplan doesn't seem the biggest guns and the biggest military alliance in the world, which is NATO, which has essentially got his gun pointed to the head of the whole Syrian people and nation. And reality, that is a gun as well, and it makes any gun within Syria look like absolute child's play. And that's not to belittle the traumatizing civil war that Syria is going through. But allow this, if the Syrian people are allowed to actually be and respect their sovereignty, like before this disaster, Syrian people would have worked out a way to coexist peacefully
yes.
as a country which all factions from the political spectrum agreed that it was an island of stability and respectful coexistence between the confessions and between the sects.
Okay.
This is the model that the Syrian people and the Turkish
okay,
people
Mr.
respect
Chandon.
And the people of the Global South want to protect as well.
Thank you very much. We have run out of time. Big thank you there to Mr. Sukant Chandon, political analyst, with us live from London, and in Berkeley, Lee Kaplan, investigative journalist. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for being with us on this edition of The Debate. From me, Homa Lezgi, until our next programme, it's goodbye.